Welcome, everyone, to Christ's Blessing on this January day of 2018, the 21st. It's the beginning of a new year, and as all segments of life happen to be, it's the beginning of a new event, a new, shall we say, series of events that we can all expect. Life has an interesting way of going in packages. We have periods that are so similar, and then all of a sudden they change and they become something else. I've heard a lot of predictions about this year being a year that will bring many answers and more peace. And I applaud that with all my heart. We are in a community now, and I just want to open our session with some of our callers so that I can make notes of your blessing request, and then I'll come back and talk to you some more. So we are, I think that's you, Desmond, someone from area code 780.
Hey, Gwenda.
Hi.
I got to spend a week with my grandmother's best friend, Bill and Winnie, and my God, I grew like 5-6 years in like 5 days, you know? And and I'm moving in with my brother for a little while here, and you know, my family's doing great, and I'm doing so good. I've had so many refinements of my purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just really happy with my future, so I just want to say that I feel very blessed, and you know, I always I'm glad to be part of Spiritus. I'm glad to be your student, and I'm glad to have your all your beautiful products, because I do eventually want to share your love and my love for your creations with other people. So that's what I would ask for a blessing for.
Oh, thank you, Desmond. How lovely. And you know, you brought up something that I'm noticing, and that is that one of the characteristics about this year so far is that blessings are happening lightning fast. Last year, they were so sluggish, like we were pushing a stone uphill with our nose. They came, we still got them, we got the miracles, but there was a lot of frustration last year, and I'm finding so much of that frustration is just, it's disappearing so quickly, it's taking us by surprise, and I'm finding that one person's blessing is becoming 5, 6, or 7 other people's blessing, so it's expanding. And so I'm so glad to hear your experience. That's just a confirmation of what I was going to just share with everyone about my experiences. So we've got a wireless caller from 41. You're on. Hi.
Hi, Brenda. I need to ask for a blessing from my friend Barbara Giannino in
Massachusetts. Okay. Who is this? Speaking.
Betty Ann.
Oh, Betty Ann, okay.
Yes. Her brother in Florida has injured his back again, and he's not been able to work for several weeks. So he's not only in pain, but he's getting extremely depressed.
Of course.
And she's worried about him. So Guy Giannino and Barbara Giannino, thank you.
They're on my list right now, and for a physical healing and also for a change of attitude, because the worst of conditions improve faster when we really can get that life direction focused on certainty, we'll get better.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And we have another wireless caller from area code 413, and you're on.
Hi, Glenda. It's June from Massachusetts.
Hi, June.
Hi. I'm calling for a blessing for a friend named Trudy, who's changing her life in a very big way and moving from our area to California. A big, big, big change for her. She says she feels called to do it, and but she doesn't really know how to move in the, not the physical sense, but the, since it's been so long since she's traveled or moved, to be at home from the new location. So I mentioned to her I would ask for a blessing.
Okay. Okay. And you know, relocation can be very, very stressful, and not just in the physical sense, because we change the energy connections we have with the earth and with other people. And those, the change in the energetic connections can leave us feeling anxious or energy depleted or a little concerned about how to make life work. So, yes, we do. We will remember her so much that she just makes a blissful transition from one package to another. We all live in these lovely packages.
Yes, and we need to feel like we belong to the world and, you know, to each other. I guess the world, I don't know if that's the right word, but that we do belong. You know,
we all need to belong. And that sense of belonging is very, very important to our health, our optimism, and our sense of purpose.
Yes. And I also want to ask, I have a thank you to God because I went through a fire and I now have an unexpected silver lining to the whole thing because I'm in line to have a better apartment than I had before.
Oh, good.
For less money and in the same general area with friendly people nearby, and so it's just quite. Well, there's sad things to being in a fire. You lose belongings.
Yes, I know.
Paperwork and books you treasure, but maybe I need to learn to let go of some of these things. You know,
well, we
focus.
We do, and you know, it's a good thing you brought that up because sometimes we can hang on to old, dead attachments and energy connections like a plug in the wall that used to run the fan, but the plug is no longer active. I'm just using that as an analogy to what we do
it.
In life.
Yeah. Yes.
We stay plugged in thinking that someday we'll turn that fan on. And then we're surprised on one hot day we go to turn on the fan and we realize the plug wasn't even active all along. It died years ago.
Oh, boy.
You know, now that's just a parable. Yeshua loved to use parables, so I do that in honor of his wit and his wisdom. But it's so true that every so often, every few months or years, it really, really serves us well to let the dead bury the dead. And I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about attachments. I'm talking about ideas, physical belongings that have no further use for us whatsoever in life. I know of all the things, it's hard to let go of our pictures. But you'll always have them in your mind and in your heart.
Yes, I think it's true. I guess that's what we really do have. You know, when we have something in our heart, we really have it. We know it by heart. And so many of these things that we think are so important, it's the relationships they represent or the love that they represent that's even more important, you know, than the
Absolutely.
Actual object.
So, Absolutely. you know,
one of
Yeshua's teaching is to follow life and the living. And he wasn't just talking about people. He was talking about opportunities that are alive, connections that are alive. That is, people you just met who really want to see you again.
Yes.
Club meetings you went to where you felt you belonged and you felt energized after you left and you just can't wait to go again. Or a new hobby you pick up that opens possibilities inside your creative matrix and you had no idea you would have an interest in that. And, you know, you're really, really tired of hobbies that you used to do. And let them go. Move on to that which brings you life and the living.
Well,
that's a blessing we can engineer in our life every day we live. So, June, thank you. I will keep all of this in my heart and on my list, and you're in our blessing today. And I see Tony is on the line. Hi, Tony.
Hello, Linda. I have a request for a blessing for several extended family members, my friends Tiger and Laura and Roseanne and Stan. They're all kind of dealing with different challenges. So
okay.
I just wanted to include them. Thank you.
Okay, that's Tiger and Laura, and then Dan and...
Roseanne and Stan.
Roseanne. Okay. And you and Judy, too.
Thank you, yes.
Good. Well, I see that our queue is momentarily empty. I'm sure someone will think of something, but I will just go on with my thoughts for the day. Perhaps, I hope, you received our first announcement for our blessing, our Christ Blessing Seminar 2018. And I'm extremely excited about this because I know what you're going to get from it. Without the suffering I had to go through to get the awareness that I achieved, and it's going to be such a blessing for me to lift the waters up to the high tide that carries all of our boats out to sea for the greater benefit of humanity. This is going to be a wonderful year, and the information that has been released and will be released is just, pardon me, so powerful. It's something that I could have talked about before because I was aware of it intellectually. You know how we can be aware of something in our mind? We can say, oh yes, there is beyond all of the physical creation, there's quantum space. It's in between all the particles. And it's hard to believe, but quantum space makes up almost 99% of all existence. When we look around us, we're thinking, how could that possibly be? Well, it's defined in a different way. It exists in a different way. And it really does make up most of existence. But we don't really walk in it, work in it, use it every day for the creation or sustaining of our life. But one thing we have to remember is that before there was ever light, before God ever said, let there be light, there was a void. And there's no indication of light being in the void. There's no indication of anything being there except what we now identify as quantum space, which really has neither space nor time, and yet it occupies almost all of the potential for time and all of the potential for space. It's really something that cannot be grasped intellectually. But we do live in it. And where we most live in it is in our prayers, our meditation, our sleep. Have you ever wondered, for even a split second, how group prayers reaching around the world with no one physically connected can change the crime rate in cities, can change the admission rate to emergency centers, can lower the police calls to a bare low number? This was actually charted and studied by the late Maharishi, who was one of the great masters of meditation and prayer, and especially global meditation and prayer. And he would have meditation days and hours, which were actually measured by, from, well, first of all, just to give you a little background, he had communication towers set up in key cities of the world. He had enough personal and also grant money to afford to do that. And he wanted to dedicate his and the group resources to measure those effects, to teach us something that we all needed to know. And that is, without any physical connection in time and space, our prayers, our meditations, our level of love makes a difference globally. And it wasn't just to a small degree. It did fluctuate. It wasn't always the same, but sometimes it lowered crime and violence rates of all kinds, emergency health events of all kinds, as much as 50%. This is a staggering figure that is not accidental. It's something that was so well orchestrated, with so many comparisons and controls, it really deserves to be regarded as a spiritual scientific demonstration of that power. And what is it? You've probably wondered, what is it that we are conveying in the blessing? From Christ to you, when I'm not there to lay hands on your head or your heart? What is traveling, and how is it traveling? How is it that Yeshua could say, when two or more are gathered in my name, there I will be also? And he didn't say in the same room, joined in a circle holding hands. He said anywhere. Anywhere. That could be three of us around the world joined in his name, and he is there. This is why I really value worship. Whether or not you are content or comfortable with a particular doctrine or a particular agenda at a church, it's good. It's good at times just to walk into any church, and maybe even different churches, to be there and sing, to be there and pray, and contribute to the offering, because you are giving into charity that has unknown recipients who will be touched by the Spirit of Christ in ways you could never imagine. And yet he will be there. Now, how this works is something I could only have described to you in intellectual terms, as I have done in the past to blessing students who came from around the world to learn how to offer a blessing. But in the last 2.5 years, Yeshua threw me out of the river of light, shall we say, where I was clinging in comfort, into the unknown, unexpected river of challenge, of hardship, where I was called to suffer along with those who do suffer, and to walk along with those who walk in darkness, and to pray with them in darkness, and find the presence of Christ there. You see, we come to think we have to be in the light first. This was the great mistake that Lucifer made, which is why he was deposed from the Lord of Heaven. This is why Yeshua was elevated to the Lord of Heaven, because he came to walk among those who walk in darkness, to eat morsels of food with those who have only enough to survive, or to multiply fish from virtually nothing, to suffer with those who suffer, and to die and to suffer. Why? People ask me all the time, Glenda, why? Why did the Lord of Life have to die on the cross? Why? And does that mean we have to suffer? No, it does not mean you have to suffer. He did that in order to bring light into darkness. I hope you see the difference. He did not believe that we first have to find the light in order to know God. He believed that by living and serving where it hurts, where there's pain, where there's loneliness, where there's isolation, where people are lost and abandoned and don't feel that they belong, they can find him and light will come. One thing I can say in a more intellectual way, it's still in the proving grounds scientifically, but it is in the proving grounds because it's been demonstrated in the highest reactor chambers and the cloud chambers and the study of the tiniest particles. And that is, you could have chaos, and there's darkness. Wherever there's chaos, particle chaos, or energy chaos, that is potential energy, that's just not lining up. The minute coherence emerges in that chaos, it shoots off a photon. In other words, it creates light. The joining of particles in dark space creates light. The lining up of energy in chaos creates light. So light can be created out of darkness. This is the point that the first lines of Genesis have been trying to tell us all along, and we kept missing it. because we thought it all began with light. It all began with God. In the void, who joined two or more particles, who created one or more lines of order or organization, out of the darkness and light emerged. We're having scientific proof of that now. And until I spent 2 years learning that firsthand, I couldn't have told you that with this certainty. I couldn't have demonstrated it for you with a certainty. I will demonstrate it for everyone in the Blessing Course in March. That's March 24th and 25th. Arrival date, March 23rd. So please, please think about it on your calendar. Even if you don't intend to serve as a blessing giver in our company of blessing givers, what you will learn about survival will save your life. What you will learn about creation will create a new life. What you learn about joining with others will create safety in a dangerous world, so that we can have the lighted world that has been predicted for thousands and thousands of years. And we're all wondering, we're sitting back in our chairs wondering, how in God's grace can a lighted world of heaven on earth come out of all this darkness? My friends, that's how it all began, out of darkness, by the joining of two or more particles, by the creation of one or more lines of destiny, by bringing order out of chaos. That's how it all began. So just imagine what will happen when we learn to do this. This is why I'm seeing results happening so quickly, and why they're not so much like pushing a stone up a mountain with your nose. They're more like rolling a stone down the mountain with your big toe. Yes, there are still stones that have to be moved, but the first action you're going to learn is the action of finding some positive connection you can make within the darkness, a little bit like June was saying with her fire and the silver lining she found in it. And now it's all becoming better. Just to remind you, I had a fire that wiped out everything for me on Christmas Day of all days, 1989. And it was from that fire that I made the connection that resulted in the painting of the Lamb and the Lion, that resulted in everything that has come after this. Believe me, in the night after the fire, all I could see were black ashes and a black night and darkness all around me. And I hugged my little cat Gunner, and I looked in his eyes, and between us there was love, and I saw light coming out from those beautiful little blue eyes. And I talked to my family, and I felt their love. And then I felt light coming out from my heart. And then I slept a long time the next day. And during that sleep, my husband had his dream, which is light coming from within the mind, the soul, if you will, telling him, giving him the revelation that I would paint the lamb and the lion. Of course, I denied it at first because there had to be a whole lot more recovery and light created for me to be able to see that, because I was still looking at the ashes. But this is the way recovery happens. It actually comes from within the darkness. I hate to tell you, but you're not going to find it in the light. In the light, everything's already happened. Do you know that most miracle healings of people in serious advanced heart conditions, fourth stage cancer, come after the pronouncement of impending death? Because they go into the darkness. Do you know how many great creations have come forth from people who were first in the dark night of their soul? One of the ones I know you're familiar with is Neil Donald Walsh, who wrote Conversations with God. Others emerged out of the prison camps, the death camps in Germany. When light emerges out of darkness, what you are creating is new light. New light. Okay? That's important. Very, very, very important. You see, the food you ate yesterday has already nourished your body, which is why you need more food today. So by walking, we don't choose to walk into the darkness, but it happens. It happens because life changes. It becomes unpredictable. We lose something we love or someone we love. The surroundings become different. Hardships pile upon us. And all of a sudden, we are in darkness. Learn how to create light inside the darkness, and you shall be as a child of God. This is why Yeshua said to his apostles, you must light the light within and then show it to the world. This is what we do on Sundays. We bring new light into the world. This is what Yeshua did with his life. He didn't come here and enjoy the benefits of light that already existed in the world, all the comforts that he could have had, all the richness that could have been bestowed upon him, all that had already been created. No, he came here to create new light because he knew we needed a lot of new light. And in creating new light, we can see his parable of the fish and the loaves at work. He took one loaf of bread, he took one fish, and he multiplied them enough to feed the masses of people that had gathered to hear him. This is why you can pick up Love Without End. You can read it once, and you're hungry, and you go back and read it again, and there's new light. And then you go back and read it again, and there's new light. This is why you can read the Bible, set it down. Next day, you open spontaneously to a new page, and there's new light. You see, God never stops creating light. Yeshua never stops creating light. This is what they came here to teach us, how to create light. And I have to say, it took a boot to the seat of my pants to get me out of the comfort of light I was sitting in. and a very, very, very hard 2 years of working with people in the most dangerous countries with abject poverty and crime, helping them, moving them up to a better place, and offering light, that I actually got to see this happen. I really got to see how it works. Yes, I've been doing it in the blessing now for almost 8 years. This summer, well, it's more like about June, will be our 8th anniversary of the blessing. It's hard to imagine we've been doing this so long. You will be, those who come to this blessing seminar will be the inheritors of almost 8 years of experience, accumulated energy, accumulated understanding that can now be expressed in real time understanding for the transforming of the new world. You are the chosen generation. You are the ones chosen to receive and carry this out. I've been working on a book now for several years, and I was in the middle of it when I was called to do more powerful work that will make the book a better book, and not just a recitation of things in the past, but a creation of things in the future. So with these words, I think we are ready, more than ready, to start on our blessing for today. And I have everyone's request on my list. So I would just ask that everyone be seated, except for blessing givers, who will stand with me. Those of you who are seated, make sure every part of your body is uncrossed. No crossed legs, no crossed hands, no crossed fingers, or so on. Why? Simply because we're conducting energy. And we want to make sure that the energy stays beautifully aligned. Remember, just because of what I said in my message to you, we want the organized, straight lines of energy moving from heaven through your body, through earth, and back from earth through your body to heaven. We want to create particles of alignment, organization, a beautiful flow like a river that doesn't have to move around rocks in its way. It just flows with grace. So allow your mind to be put at rest, your head to be bowed, gently, just so your attention can fall into your heart. After I finish my prayer to Yeshua, you will begin your prayer to God for 3 minutes for whatever is in your heart, your life, your desires. And don't worry if you don't catch it all. God knows everything you need and is with you unconditionally. After we have conducted the energy of the blessing, and now you know why it's so important to conduct the energy, and I would suggest that your eyes be closed. After that, I want you to go and rest for at least 7 minutes so that the alignment can continue and you can just allow things to come together inside you and be nourished and nurtured by what has been given. Dear Yeshua, we thank you for your love most of all, for your wisdom, and for teaching us so many things we are often not ready to understand, but you stay with us, offering parables and examples and helping us to gain understanding through living and through loving one another. We thank you that you draw us to those we are meant to love and those who are meant to love us. We thank you for giving us this power of belonging, because in belonging, in joining, in working together, the world is lighted, and it's so much better for everyone. We thank you for your blessings now, for we know you are with us here in all things. We thank you for your healing, your forgiveness, your guidance, and for even things we know we want to ask, but we can't find the words, because you know what we need. And we ask all of these things in the glory of your precious name. Amen. Amen. Your blessing has been given. Now go and rest and be quiet and receive for at least 7 minutes. God is with you and you are loved. I look forward to being with you next week. Bye-bye for now.